This morning I wanted to be as visual as I could, and so as a meditation this morning there are going to be some words on a PowerPoint presentation based around Psalm 8. So I'm going to ask you to pray or to be prayerful, but not to close your eyes as we pray, because the images and the words hopefully will be on the screen. So as I say, a meditation on Psalm 8.
Thank you.
Amen. We've tried to keep the interview section. While we were online, we always had somebody to talk to, but now that we're back in the church, we've tried to keep that section of our worship too. And so I'm going to invite Terry to come and join me wherever Terry is. Terry, do you just want to use that mic?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Terry, you're part of the beta group. Tell me what beta group is. What does it do? Who are you?
We're a follow-up group.
You can take your...
Great. We're a follow-up group from following on from Alpha.
So a follow-on group from Alpha.
Yeah.
How long have you been going?
6-7 years now, I think, yeah.
Okay. And you were there at the beginning, were you?
Yeah. Found a member.
Yeah. Before the lockdown, what kind of things would you do in the group? What's the format of an evening?
It's supposed to be intense Bible study, but it starts off first half an hour of what's going on through the week, what's everybody's problems are and everything else. Eventually, we'll get out to some Bible study, cup of tea, biscuits, cake, sweets.
Don't do yourself down. I think that's a very important part of any home group, is the social interaction, the cake, the biscuits, the chat, as well as the Bible study as well. What's changed since the lockdown? Are you still meeting?
Yeah, a marvellous thing is we never have a break. I think Christmas is the only week we never meet, but obviously we're online now. We were very worried how we were going to proceed because we meet in church. Difference from all the other house groups is we use the church as a base for meeting.
Before the lockdown,
you
met in the upper room there, at the glass house.
Yeah. Wherever we can squeeze in. But yeah, we have a good guy, Tony, that's sort of our technology expert, and he set us up with these Zoom meetings, and it's just a case of putting your numbers in and you're online, yeah.
So what kind of things do you do now? Is it the same kind of mix of...
Same format. Some of us still have a cup of tea or coffee there. You can see it on screen. But what we do now is each person will lead each week. If they want to, if they don't want to, that's fine. And they bring something to the... they do a bit of homework. That's the interesting part about it, really. A bit of homework and then bring something to the meeting, yeah.
How many of you meet?
We're an average group of about 12, but some of them are being commandeered by the church for other, Patricia Cook's a treasurer now, so she doesn't join us as much as we'd like to see her back when her duties come back. About 12, but there's always around 6 of us online, yeah.
Okay. But personally, Terry, what do you enjoy most? What do you get out of it? Why do you keep coming along?
It's the like-minded people. It's a bit like when you're a child and going to see Newcastle United or Man United, whatever, with your father. It's that same buzz on a Thursday evening, meeting and speaking, and how it all comes back to our Lord and Saviour. Yeah, and how people have grown. People coming from Alpha. It's one thing getting people to Alpha. It's then getting them through the church doors and to mix with people that they think and I include myself in this, are Bible scholars and we're not. And Peter just brings them through that door. It gets them in confidence, and you see people growing in confidence and leading a meeting and speaking, about things they have learned and done the homework on. Yeah, it's marvellous, yeah.
So you'd encourage everybody to join you?
Oh, yes, anybody that wants to come along. We've got an age group of... 27 up to 78, yeah.
Anything right in between?
Yeah.
Thank you, Terry, for telling us all about the beta group. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do encourage you to join a group if you're not part of a small group. For me, church begins at that level. Church, at the moment, what we've got here this morning isn't church, it's congregation. It's the meeting together of the individual small groups, the churches. So your church is your small group. And that's where church begins, and this is the congregation. So please, I do encourage you to join a small group and to grow in your faith through that. We have no music group with us for one reason or another today, but I am going to show you another video. This song is sung by Bethel Church in America, and the song is all about Jesus being our friend. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says that if somebody wants to have friends, they have to themselves be friendly. And then it goes on and says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to read from the book of Galatians and from chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, then he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. As I said at the beginning, we're looking at these four key words which shape us as a church: praise, belong, act, and grow. Praise, we want to be a church of worship. We want to express our love for God. Except you don't need to do that inside a building. The church needs to be the church wherever we are, scattered 24/7. And so praise is a way of life. It's an attitude that you carry with you through the week. Where do you praise God? Act. We want to show God's love for his world in our actions. So I'm proud to be part of a church where we are so devoted to things like supporting the food bank, running the CAP debt centre, supporting the Carlisle Refuge, and in so many other ways. We want to be demonstrating God's love into our community. And we want to grow. Love that's not static, but love that grows and deepens with each passing day. I wonder, has your love for Jesus grown? Can you look back at when you first became a Christian? And the love that you had then, has that love grown and deepened with the years? And then today, belong. We want to be a church where we demonstrate our love for one another. How do we do that? So, belonging. We want to be a friendly and a welcoming church where everybody feels that they can belong. A church where everybody feels that they fit in. A place where they feel that they are at home. I remember in one of my previous churches, I was privileged enough to take the funeral for an elderly gentleman who died. Well, that's probably a good idea to take the funeral, really. His wife and he had been church members a long while back. In fact, I think they'd even met through church. Church social functions, a church dance or something like that. But then children had arrived and, life changes for one reason or another, they'd stopped coming to church. Life happened and church wasn't part of their routine. They'd drifted away from the church. And maybe it was, I don't know, something like 40 years or something, maybe longer, 50 years, since they'd last been in church. And now here she was, back in the church, for the funeral of her husband. She came to the service the week after, very trepidatiously. Is that a word? I've made a word up, trepidatiously. But fearfully, anxiously, she wanted to come back to church, but she wasn't quite sure what kind of a welcome she would get. Would there be somebody there who would say to her, "We haven't seen you around these parts for a long time. Where have you been then?" What kind of a welcome was she going to get? Now, it just so happened that during that period, as a church, we were looking at bringing home the prodigals. And it was the story of the prodigal son. And that was the story that was being preached on that Sunday. A story about how the prodigal goes to the far country, comes to his senses, but then begins to wonder, what kind of a welcome will I get if I go home? And that was the sermon that this lady heard that first Sunday that she came back to church after 40 or 50 years. And after the service, she said to me, "You know, it felt like coming home. It felt like I belonged and I'd been missing out all these years. But here I was back at home once again." How do we as a church maintain that sense of belonging, of being a friendly and a welcoming church? It's a basic need that every person has. Everybody needs to feel that they are welcomed, needs to feel that they are loved, needs to feel that they are accepted, needs to feel that there is somewhere that they belong. In the mornings on the television at the moment, they are rerunning old episodes of Cheers. I'm not sure whether that's rerunning or whether it's just a constant thing that, you know, just keeps going and going and rolling and rolling and rolling. But you know the theme tune to Cheers. Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name and they're always glad you came. But that's about a bar in Boston. And I think, I want to take that and say that applies to PMC. That applies to church. Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name. And those of you that know Cheers know that every time that Norm walks into the bar, everybody turns and shouts, "Norm!" Kind of a running joke throughout the program. Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name and they're always glad you came. After Cheers came Friends. And Friends was very much geared and built around the idea of six friends. That small group that you felt intimately related to, that you saw life with, you walked through with them. And I suppose that was a sense of longing that everybody has to be part of a group, somewhere that they belong, somewhere that they know one another and relate to one another and work together. As it says in this passage in Galatians, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Let's look a little bit more closely at Jesus' life. I mean, if you look at Jesus' life, he was surrounded by crowds. There were crowds of people, whether it was feeding 5,000 men, let alone the women and children, whether it's when he needs to get into a boat in order to be able to preach because the crowds are pressing on him, whether it's when he is confronted with a paralyzed man that's let down through the roof because the crowds are pressing in at the door. There are crowds around him, so much so that he often has to take time aside on his own to be away from the crowds. But then if you shrink down from the crowd, then there's the 72 or the 70 that Jesus sends out. So disciples, not just the 12, but the 72 that he sends out. We're kind of shrinking down. Then you get to the 12. But even within the 12 disciples that walk with him along the byways and all the roads of Israel, with him through that 3.5 years, even within that group, there's a smaller group of three that are with him on special occasions, that are with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, that are with him in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus says, watch and pray. And then even from the three, there's the one, John, the beloved disciple. Some of the young girls will know what BFF stands for. Best friend forever. BFF. Who's your BFF? Who's your BFF? Who's your best friend forever? And so there in the life of Jesus, from the one, the best friend forever, to the 12, or to the three, to the 12, to the 72, to the crowds. I wonder if that kind of resonates with you and your life. Do you have a BFF? Do you have that best friend forever? Do you have that triplet? Just again, like encouraged prayer triplets. Do you have that? Just those three friends that you meet with regularly? Maybe four or five, I don't know. Do you have that small group, that home group of maybe 12 people that you meet with regularly? I wonder where you feel that you fit in. Where do you belong? Where can you be really you? Without masks, without pretense. Where do you fit in? Along with the word belong, there are three adjectives. Which adjectives would you go along with the word belong? Here are the three adjectives which we've chosen. We could have chosen welcoming or friendly, but these are the three words. Supportive, hospitable, and inclusive. So in order to help us be a church where people feel that they belong, we want to be a church which is supportive, hospitable, and inclusive. Supportive. Who do you run to when the going gets tough? Who do you turn to in times of trouble? Who are the people that you know would be there for you? If you became seriously ill, who would be the people to be on your doorstep immediately? If you fell into financial problems, who would be the person that you could go to and say, could you help me out this week? Where would you go in time of need? Who would be the person that you could talk to and the person that you know would be of practical help to you? I think everybody needs friends like that. Everyone needs people around us to support us. But let's turn that question on its head. Who would turn to you for that? Who is the people, or who are the people who would automatically think, that's the person. That's the person I would share that with. That's the person I'd go to for that help. Are there people that you rely on? And are there people who rely upon you? For I have to say that for you to belong, this is a dirty word now, takes an act of commitment. It takes commitment to belong. In fact, I could say about a particular object, my jumper belongs to me. It's mine. It belongs to me. Therefore, there's ownership of it. And in order for you to feel that you belong to church or belong to any group, there's got to be some kind of ownership on your part. You've got to have bought into it. Now, I'm not talking about giving in the collection plate, although I'm looking at Patricia again now, buying into, but that sense of ownership, that you have bought into it, that you belong because you're committed to it. How can you say that you are belong to something if there's no commitment, if you're not going to turn up every week, or as many times as you can at least. In order to promote that sense of belonging, you have to buy in. You have to be committed to it. And in terms of friendship, sometimes it's when the going gets tough that you really find out who those people are who are your friends. The ones that are really committed to you and the ones that are really committed to the friendship. Commitment. Ownership. Again, we say about Jesus, I am yours and you are mine. A friend who sticks closer than a brother, that's Jesus. Who's always there for us, who commits himself to us. Greater love has no one than this. He lays down his life for his friends, and you are my friends, says Jesus. Supportive. Who supports you? And I'm sorry, and forgive us as a church, if over the last 6 months you feel in any way that the church has not supported you, forgive us. We've done our best, and sometimes we know that we have failed. But forgive us as a church if you feel that we've not supported you adequately. We've tried, but not always succeeded. Here's a second word that we would link with it, and that's the word hospitable. A hospitable church. A church which will open its doors and welcome people in. When I was writing this sermon, it's good to know I write them. When I was writing this sermon, I thought, this is good, I can preach this one. You know, I can preach it. And then I thought, no, I can't actually. Because what I was going to say is, when strangers, and a stranger is just a friend that you haven't made yet, when newcomers come into this church, how do we welcome them? When visitors come, when, as I was saying about the lady in one of my previous churches, and she comes back after 40 or 50 years, what do you do in terms of making that person feel welcome? Well, you are hospitable to them. You say, make yourself at home. And then we would say something like, there's tea and coffee afterwards. Come through and have a chat. And then somebody like Chris and Sarah Hume would probably say something like, why don't you come home for Sunday lunch with us? It's beans on toast. Hospitality. Hospitable. And I said, I can preach this one. Let me preach it. And I'm thinking, oh, hang on a second. COVID-19, we can't do any of that now. So here's the challenge. Given the circumstances that we're in now, how can we still be a hospitable church? How can we still show our love and concern for everyone who comes through this door to make sure that everybody feels that they are welcome? Yes, we're going to have to say, please sign in. Please wash your hands. Yes, we're going to have to say, please keep your distance and all of those things, but still, somehow, make sure that people feel that they are loved and welcomed. And in fact, by encouraging them to stay safe, by washing their hands and signing in, maybe that actually is an act of hospitality in itself. We're going to do all that we can to make sure that this is a COVID-19 secure venue. That we are safe in this place because we've kept all the rules. And maybe that's part of our hospitality too. But I leave that question hanging with you. In the current environment, how do we make sure that we are a hospitable church? And then lastly, an inclusive church. We want to say that everybody is welcome here. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done in your life, whatever your character, your personality, your makeup, whoever you are a child of the one true King. You are loved You are loved beyond measure, and you're welcome in this place. And so we want to say that this is an inclusive church, that everybody is welcome. But be careful. Saying that everybody is welcome to come does not mean the same thing that as anything goes. Because all groups, whichever group that you make your commitment to and decide that you are going to belong to, will have certain boundaries attached. So, for example, if I'm going to join a chess club, I'm probably committed to learning how to play chess. And if every time that I turn up to the chess club, I cause havoc by tipping over all the boards, they're going to say, we don't want you here anymore, because you're not showing that kind of commitment. Belong, believe, behave. Which order do you put those three things in? Do you have to believe in order to belong, and then that'll change your behavior? Or do you have to behave in a certain way? Or do you belong first? Which order do those three things come in? And actually, I don't think that you can differentiate them. I think they are all bound in there. But let's go back to the original point. We want to be an inclusive and a welcoming church. Whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever you are coming from, you are loved by God, and therefore you are welcome in this place. I come back to the point, though. There is a friend closer, sticks closer than a brother. Where do you belong? Where do you fit in? Where is home for you? And I hope you can say that this place, and not simply the place, but the people within it, are your family, your brothers and your sisters, that you belong here, and that this is your home. Let's pray together. Who are you supporting right now? Who are those people in that small group? People you rely upon, but maybe people who rely upon you. Just lift these people to the Lord in prayer right now. Particularly if you know that they're struggling in any way. For a moment, in these times of isolation, maybe you think of those who are lonely, who are vulnerable, the housebound, all the lonely people. Where do they all belong? So we pray. Lord, bind us together. Bind us together with love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Education Sunday, the Sunday after all the children go back to school, as they have done, as universities open again. I've got a message for you from Ruth. Ruth is our NISCU worker, and hopefully she'll be able to talk to you by the powers of technology.
Just wanted to pop in to say hi and thank you for praying for our schools over the last term. And as today is Education Sunday, back in thinking about schools and what is going on with them at the moment. Obviously, children and pupils are back in full cohorts, and teachers are having to manage different bubbles of students. Teachers in secondary schools are having to move from classroom to classroom rather than students coming to them in a lot of subjects, which obviously changes the dynamics of how they work and what has to happen in lessons. Please could you pray with us for the teachers and the students across our area as they adjust to the new normal and as they get used to teachers being off self-isolating, students having to go off to self-isolate when there are cases or possibilities of cases in the school. It's going to be a disrupted term, and I think we all know that they are going to value our prayers. Also, thank God for the continued open doors, particularly in our primary schools. Primary schools, just because we can't go in physically, we can still go in virtually, and a lot of the primary schools across the area have been asking myself and other Christian workers for collective worships or assemblies by Zoom or pre-recorded by YouTube. This is a real privilege to be able to do, to still connect with the school, to support them in what they are trying to do, and to be able to bring comfort from the Bible to those schools. So please continue to pray. Thank you for your support, and let's look after our schools and our teachers this term and those who work in schools. Actually, I think school administrators are going to have a really tough term because they're the ones who deal with the phone calls about absences and all those kind of things. Let's keep praying, and thanks. Bye.
So let's do that, just a time of prayer. Let's pray. God of all, through all times and in all places, in each circumstance and season, you call us and welcome us with open arms to be your own beloved children. We belong to you. Each one of us is precious to you and called by you. In this time of great change and uncertainty, you are unchanging and an ever faithful friend. In this moment, let us feel you speaking to us, leading us, teaching us, filling us with your Spirit, and strengthening us for the journey ahead. We pray for everyone who's just started school for the first time, for those in reception class and in nursery. What a strange and a fearful time it must be. For everyone who's gone back to school this week or to college, for those transitioning from primary to secondary school, on to sixth form or college or on to university. Maybe there are children that you know, that you hold in your prayers right now. We pray for the teachers, tutors, lecturers, teaching assistants, school administrators. We pray your blessing upon our local schools right now. May they be places of safety and security, places of warmth and welcome, places where everybody feels that they belong. Thank you for opportunities to go into schools either virtually or through video. Thank you for those open doors. So we pray your blessing now through your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn today talks about Jesus being the light and how there are people who are lonely, people who are looking for somewhere to belong. And so, again, I'm going to invite the music group or the choral group to come and join me as we sing our final song.
Thank you.
A special thank you to Steve. Is this the first time on the desk on your own? Oh. So this is the first time that Steve has been driving and I give him a PowerPoint presentation and two videos to show. So thank you. Thank you very much. Although we can't see one another's mouths, we can see one another's eyes. So I wonder if we can share the words of the grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.